of preaching, teaching sermons. We just finished Amos, as most of you know, or a lot of you know, and we will be heading into summer, and a lot of times in the summer, or every summer, I guess, that I've been here, we have walked through different psalms, and we're going to spend some time in the psalms as well this summer, but before we get to that, we'll have four sermons that we're going to look at the theme of loving your neighbor. So our outreach and missions team, we've looked at and thought, what can we do this summer just to encourage our people to love those around us? So we'll be talking about loving our neighbor and looking at several different passages in the New Testament that points us to that and points us to the love of our God and our call to love others in that. But today, it being a day of the commissioning of these parents and putting these kids and entrusting them in the hands of the Lord, and also on Mother's Day, I thought it would be appropriate to take this middle time in between things and take a week to look back in Ephesians chapter 6. And this is a passage that we looked at about 3 years ago as we walked through Ephesians. And so I spent time in it again this week and encouraged by it and challenged by it. And hopefully there'll be encouragement in it. And before we begin, though, I just have a few thoughts as I've been thinking about this passage, even before we get into it this week. The first thing is that I'm reminded of how I am just always learning and growing in my walk with Jesus, always learning and growing, which includes even my in parenting and in shepherding and just how to do those things. And as I look back and study through this and look through it again, I was thinking to myself, I think I know less about parenting now than I did 3 years ago. And it's just kind of, sometimes it is that way. You think you kind of have things figured out, and then you realize, actually, I really, really don't. I even looked back to see how long I'd preached for that sermon. It was like 45 minutes, and I'm like, I don't have 45 minutes on parenting to be able to impart on anyone. I'm not sure what I was thinking. But we're growing in that. We just need humility in these things. And also, as I was thinking about this, I think there's application for everyone here today. There's application if you're a parent or not. There's application if you're a child in the home or you're a grown child. There's application. But it's application because we're all people that are under authority in one way or the other. We're people under authority. And ultimately, we're under the authority of the Lord God. And also, often we are people with authority, either as a parent or some other role, and there's responsibility that comes with that. In that is where people, maybe under authority or with authority, we are people that are to look to Jesus, to have our eyes focused upon Christ. So there's application here. And then finally, because we live in a world that's fallen and broken, we recognize that families are impacted by this. It might be some who have grown up in a home where parents did not point them to Jesus and did not love well. And there was a brokenness in that, and we recognize that. And sometimes there are families that experience and have experienced separation and experienced divorce, and it makes their challenging ways to navigate how do we point our kids to Jesus, and we acknowledge that. And I'm also reminded by the love and the grace of Jesus that he enables us to walk through even when things are difficult, to love and to walk and point our kids to Jesus or others around us to Christ, our family, parents that don't know Jesus, to lovingly point them, our grown kids who are not walking with Jesus, that there is grace in our Lord God. No matter how messy it is, Christ is greater. Amen. No matter how messy it is, our Lord is greater than those difficulties. So just things to acknowledge and think about as we walk through this passage. So four verses. Again, I don't know how I did 45 minutes on four verses, so I'm going to try not to do that today. So we'll walk through. Let's look at verses 1-3 first. And there's instruction to children. And it begins just with that word, Ephesians 6, children. And you can imagine these letters were letters that Paul would write, and they would be delivered to churches, and they would be read. And you just imagine the kid sitting with mom and dad, and they hear the word children, and their ears perk up. And then they hear obey your parents, and then they're like, oh. That's probably how to respond. But then later they hear that fathers don't provoke your children to anger, and they're like, yeah. They're listening. So there's an instruction to kids. So these are kids. These are spoken to kids who are in the home, who are under the watch of their kid, of their parents in their home, and there's instruction to them. And it says, children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. So this is a call for kids to submit lovingly, to submit to the loving, serving leadership of their parents, who are under the submission of the Lord God, who calls them to lead and love their kids. So parents are called to be those who give instruction. They're called to give direction. They're called to give protection, their guidance and teaching. And they do this, again, under that authority of the Lord God who calls them into this walk of obedience by loving their kids. And barriers are required in parenting, too. There's discipline that's needed. And they're ultimately to protect and to bring about flourishing. So kids are called to obey those rules that parents bring before them. And then a question might be, well, why obey? It says, obey your parents in the Lord. Parents are those who are, hopefully, as he's speaking to the church, those who have entrusted their life to Christ and they walk in the Lord, and these kids are brought in under that. One translation even translates these words as obey your children in the Lord, because obey them because you belong to the Lord. There's even a relationship there, and you're called to obey your parents as you obey Jesus Christ. And Christian parents are to be those who represent Christ, that they're ambassadors of the gospel to their kids, that they're those who continually point them to Jesus, so kids, therefore, are called to obey. And I think something important to notice here is that as he says, obey them in the Lord, we notice that parents are not the saviors of their kids. They're not the Lord of their kids. They're not Jesus is. Jesus is to be center. Jesus is to be center of the in the life of the family. Jesus is to be the center of the home and the marriage. And when we seek to make ourselves the savior, or we seek to make ourselves the center of our kids' life, that's just going to fall. That's going to fall apart. Or if we make our kids the center of our life, then make our kids our hope, or make our kids our place that we seek satisfaction in, that will fall as well, because they are not created to carry the weight of being our hope and being our purpose filler in our life. That is to be from Jesus Christ alone. So Christ is our Lord. And then as we continue, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for it is right. It is a good thing. It's a right and good thing. It's a righteous thing for kids to obey their parents. Now, obedience isn't easy. We know that in any age of life, it's not easy. It can be downright difficult, and often our flesh says this. And I think this is application of authority, no matter what the level is. But as kids and as adults with authority, often we want to say things like, I'm just going to kind of do what I want to do. Listen to you. I don't know about that. I think I probably know a little more than you know. So why would I listen to you? What do you know? I think I know what's right for myself. I know best. And we kind of have that mantra early on in life, and it continues through us. And pride often wells up, and it makes it hard for us to walk in submission. But obedience is a good thing. It's right. It leads to good. Our parents, they don't desire for kids to suffer. They want to rescue them from heartache. They want to rescue them from difficulty and suffering. They want them to thrive. They want them to find the joy and the peace and love of Christ. So we call them to do things and call them not to do other things because we love them. So it is good and it is right. Now, as parents, we have to acknowledge that we make mistakes, that we don't do things well always. We make wrong judgments. We discipline sometimes when we shouldn't have disciplined. And we need to be those who walk in quickly and seek forgiveness, though, when we do fall short. And the Lord's grace is greater than all our sin, right? Jesus is greater than our imperfect parenting. Amen? Isn't that good? That Jesus is greater than our imperfect parenting. We can entrust them to Him and rest that He is the one who is Lord. He is the one who is Savior. We're not the Savior of our kiddos. And then as he continues, obedience is also, it's a command given by God. It's a command given by God. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So here, there's a command. And in the Ten Commandments, this is the fifth commandment. The first four commandments are about our love for God and our reverence for Him. And the six other commandments are those about loving others. And it begins with this command to love, for kids to honor their father and mother. So this is a pretty significant thing if it begins and leads out in this way, this call to honor, a call really to obey parents. It's a command to honor. Now this idea of honor, it's honor to esteem, to revere parents in a right way. And it's not just an outward action, but it's an honoring of heart. And this is one of those things that it does play out throughout our life, a call to honor our parents in these ways. So even as adults, we can honor and care for our parents. Jesus in Matthew 15, verses 4 through 6, he's talking to the religious leaders, and he calls them out that they are not honoring their parents, their older parents, and caring for them, and instead they're using the pretense of a tradition, a man-made tradition, to not honor them and not care for them, and he calls them out to honor them. So there's a call to honor, but it's not always easy to honor parents if we have a parent that does not love the Lord and does not show love. Where do we go with it there? How do we deal with that? I think of Romans 12:18 that says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So there's a call to, as it depends upon us, I think, to honor our parents in that way, in a way that's not always easy, and it only can go so far sometimes. And then as we continue, we see that God promises a good reward and fruit from this obedience. Again, obey and honor your parents so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the land, or you may live long on this earth. So both in this life, as we follow after Jesus, and for all eternity in His kingdom, we will see the blessing of our God in this. And we experience, I believe, more fully the fullness of God's grace when we walk in obedience as opposed to walking in rebellion. In our home, if we walk, as kids walk in obedience to their parents, there is a safety and a joy that's found there. But when you're walking in rebellion, it brings a tension and a brokenness and a lack of peace in the home when there's rebellion in there. And sometimes it takes a long time as a kid to realize that it's good to obey and to listen. It took me a long time to do that, and I don't remember exactly when, but I feel like there was a time in high school where I realized it's sure a lot easier just to, when my parents asked me to do something, to say, okay. It made life a lot easier, and I just didn't understand that. It just takes time, but there's a goodness in obeying parents and a joy in a life that's found there. And then there's instruction to parents. That happens in verse 4. And we have this word from Paul. It says, fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. So fathers. So here, as we think about parents, and we're called to point our kids to Jesus, he begins, says, fathers. So Paul, as Paul's saying here, as he addresses fathers, is he saying that mothers are not to be involved in parenting? No, absolutely not. Because he's already said, children, obey who? Obey your parents, plural. So there's a call, there's instruction from parents. But fathers are to be those who lead out in their family. They should lead out in these things. There's a greater weight of responsibility placed on fathers. And we do know and we recognize that there are times where there's families where fathers have abandoned and they're absent in that time. And I believe the Lord gives a huge measure of grace upon moms that lead and love when there is a father absent. But fathers are called primarily to be that one that leads out in loving. And you think of in Ephesians, right before this chapter, we have this instruction to husbands, for these fathers. How are they to love their wife? They're to love their wife as Christ loved the church and laid down his life. So we see in that instruction that a husband leads by dying to self, by laying down his life, by taking, as we read the passage earlier about Jesus, how he loved his disciples to the end and then he washed their feet. This is the picture that we have of husbands, but also as fathers, to be those who lovingly serve, willing to serve with the attitude of Christ, washing feet, maybe literally sometimes, to love and point our kids to Jesus. So fathers lead out on this. So fathers, your job of leading, loving, and pointing to kids to Jesus, it can't be subcontracted out either. It can't be subcontracted out to mom, to the church, to a youth minister. No, you're the one who's called to that. You can't pass that off. And what are you to lead out on? We'll come back to the not provoking. We're going to end on the not provoking to anger, but we're going to jump over to, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So bring them up. This idea of bringing them up, it's the word of nourish. A few verses earlier in chapter 5, verse 29, there's this word nourish, and that's the same word of bringing up. You're called to nourish them, to care for them, to rear them, to bring them up. I think of how our Heavenly Father nourishes and cares for us as he cares for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. He's a God who cares for us. And as parents, fathers and mothers, we're called to nourish our kids in the instruction of the Lord. And as we care for them and we love them, it doesn't mean always that we give them what they want, but what they need, right? There's a difference between giving kids what they want and what they need. And we need to nourish them in the instruction and of the Lord and point them to Jesus. We need to fuel their love for Christ. And that can look different for different kids of fueling their love for Jesus. For maybe a kid who loves sports, you can connect them with, there are different athletes who love Jesus, and you can take them to events or to introduce them to Jesus in this way. Or maybe your kids love science, and there's all sorts of ways. So science has a fingerprint of Jesus all over it. But there's different ways that we can fuel their love, and we're not called, though, to fuel their love for the world. We're not called to fuel their love for fame, or for temporal wealth. That's not our job. And then it says to disciple them, or to discipline, I'm sorry, discipline them in the Lord. So we're called to discipline our kids. We're called to correct our children. And discipline is an expression, ultimately, of love for our kids. You think of Hebrews chapter 12 in the New Testament, that speaks about that. It speaks about how our lovingly Heavenly Father disciplines us because he loves us. This is from Hebrews 12, verse 6. It says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And then it goes on to say that discipline is not fun in the moment, but it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness. So discipline's not easy, but it's the most loving thing we can do as parents. But discipline, both receiving discipline and giving discipline isn't isn't always all that fun. It's hard sometimes even as a parent to discipline our kids. And sometimes it's hard to even discern between what is rebellion and what is just being childish and trying to discern those things. And what's childish one year is not childish another. So when you what something your kid does when they're two, that's kind of childish and you instruct them, but you don't yet discipline them in. When they're five or six or 10 and they're doing the same things they did when they were two, there needs to be some discipline that needs to step in because there's rebellion there. And we need wisdom from God to know how to understand those things. And different kids act differently. Like some kids are quiet, so their rebellion looks different than a kid who is really loud and energetic. Their rebellion is a lot easier to pinpoint. But when you're quieter, it's a little more passive. But it might be a little bit more biting and difficult too. But you can be aware. You just ask the Lord to give us discernment. We need His guidance to be able to discipline our kids. We need help from others too that might see things that we don't see as we're raising up kids. And then also there's this call to instruct them in the Lord. So we instruct them in the Lord. We admonish them in the Lord. We bring them before God's word. We teach the word of God to them. We bring them as individuals and as a family before God's word so that we can instruct them and teach them in truth. And as we do that, as we bring them before God's word, it looks differently at different seasons in life too. There's not just one pattern and one way of doing it. In different families, it's going to look different. Just recently, I was talking with someone and they were talking about how they would do their devotion time with their family. They'd always do it in the morning, and they had a friend who did it in the evening, and they were like, that sounds like really like painfully horrible thing to do. And so it just depends on your family and your rhythm and how things should go and what it looks like. And it's different when you have teenage kids than it did when they're toddlers. It changes, and it's not always easy. I have a list of just some different things to think about as we think about instructing our kids. And this isn't by any means any type of comprehensive list or a list to say this is the way or only way of doing it, but these are just some instructions. One, be in the practice of bringing your kids to church. That's a beginning point. Bring them so that they can hear the word of God, so that they can study God's word, so that they can have others who love Jesus teach them the things that you're telling them. And they can have older saints that pour into them and build a relationship. So bring your kids to church. Second, read the Bible with your family. And again, this changes throughout the years and looks different at different stages in their life. And you have to prayerfully ask, Lord, how do we do this? And even I think now in our family, there's a question in my heart, in our hearts, about how do we do that now? We're kind of in that journey. How do we bring the word and study together? You can study, or together and separately, pour into your kids and speak to them about Jesus. Together and separately. Take time to do that. Share about your walk now and share about when you were young as well with your kids. One thing, even just this week in my inbox, in my email, there's an article pointing to this article about allowing your kids just to see you spend time in God's word. Just allow your kids to see you read God's word and hear you pray. A simple thing, but an important thing. Leave room for good questions to be asked and not be upset when they wrestle through things or they disagree with you or they have questions about their faith. Leave room for these things and point them to good resources. Pray with them, both as a family, as individual. Pray for normal things and difficult things. Pray together. And then just finally, I think this is kind of as I come down to it, and maybe as I continue parenting and I know less than I did at the beginning, I would just say love Jesus and love your kids. love Jesus and love your kids. Maintain that relationship with them. Seek to love them. And again, as far as you are able, love them. Sometimes it gets hard and difficult, it can be. But love your kids. Point them to Jesus. Again, Jesus is greater than all of our parenting missteps and failures. Pray for them. And then the last thing we see, and really it was the first one, but we skipped over it, going back to it. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Paul says it a little differently in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Which is a call of parents. And clearly, Paul understood our hearts. He understood that we would struggle with this. He understood that we would need to be warned about this and to be encouraged in this. And he says, yeah, don't be angry with your kids. Do not provoke your kids to anger. Psalm 103:13-14 says it this way. It says, a father shows compassion to his children. So the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So we see this example of God showing compassion to us as a father to his kids. And then it says, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows our frame. This is saying he knows our weakness. Our Heavenly Father knows our weaknesses. So as parents, we should understand our kids and have compassion with them and know their weakness. We are not to discipline or instruct or warn in anger, which would provoke a child and provoke them then in turn into anger. We need to be those who are quick to seek forgiveness of our kids when we do provoke, when we do misstep, when we do fail, because we do fail, to be quick to seek forgiveness. I think of a story I heard years ago. It was either in something I read or listened to where it was talking about how a pastor was preaching about anger. And at the end of the sermon, he called those who were wrestling and struggling with anger to come forward so that the church could pray for them. And a majority of those who came forward were parents of toddlers who came forward to be prayed for. Because it's a struggle sometimes. This is a quote from J.C. Ryle. He says this, love is one grand secret of successful training. Love is one grand secret of successful training. Anger and harshness may frighten, but they will not persuade the child that you are right. Try hard to maintain your child's affections. It is a dangerous thing to make your child afraid of you. So love, again, that call to love your kids. To love them, be quick to seek forgiveness, and share the gospel. You're sharing the gospel when you ask them to forgive you when you've sinned against them. One other quote from a pastor and commentator that said it this way. So perhaps the best antidote for exasperating our children, whether difficult toddlers or grumpy teenagers, is consciously to resolve to enjoy them as a precious gift from God. To consciously resolve to enjoy them as a precious gift from God, to recall that we were all kids once, and to remember how patient our Heavenly Father has been with us when we were defiant and grumpy. Our Father, God, has been gracious to us. And then Ephesians 4:31-32, in this letter to the churches, Paul writes, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Then he says, be kind to one another. I could put in here, be kind to your children. Tenderhearted, be tenderhearted with your children. Forgiving one another. So seeking forgiveness and forgiving your kids. Isn't that funny? As a parent, there's times where your kids will sin against you, and it's sometimes hard to forgive. But we're called to forgive and then be those who seek forgiveness. Forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. So we're reminded we are ambassadors of the grace of God to our kids, but also to the world and to other family members. We can't change the hearts of our kids, but we can seek to shepherd them, seek to die to self, and seek to be those who are those who continually point them to Jesus. And may we first remember that we are under the authority of our Heavenly Father. May we humbly walk under His authority and seek to be those who point others to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank You today. Thank You for this opportunity we have to celebrate Your graces through family and through life. And Lord, we recognize too that we are called as followers of Christ to be ambassadors of the gospel. So Lord, we pray that You would help us to grow in those things. Help us as a church members, a church body, a church family to help parents and of all ages as we walk through knowing how to parent in love and even walk through adult with adult kids to know how to honor and love their parents and maybe sometimes bring reconciliation. And Lord, help us as a church body walk through all of these things together as we seek to love You and love others well, we pray. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.